Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Again, and some of you can go out and have a drink over in Britain. We're very jealous seeing pictures of you falling around the streets in the middle of the morning with your knickers down around your ankles. Hopefully that will be us very soon.
I think that picture is literally just a stock image for that that mail online bust out every now and then.
Yeah,
the actually, same girl.
That girl has been wearing the same underwear for about 5 years now. They're like, oh, isn't it terrible on a Saturday night? Oh, Brexit. Oh, COVID. And it's the same poor girl.
Yeah, it's just that poor girl's life is ruined. It's just the same picture over and over and over, rehashed.
I know. At least she could be making a few royalties off it or something. But with the Daily Mail, I very much doubt it. Oh, they're a horrible rag anyway, aren't they? Horrible rag.
They are.
Here we are again. It is the first week of May. We're doing a live stream on Friday. If anyone would like to take part, if you'd like to have any little suggestions about what you'd like us to talk about. At the moment, the topic has not been set in stone. So if anyone has any little suggestions, Will, where can they give them to?
They can shove them up their arse because we're going rogue on this. And I don't know, I think it's an introduction to the world of mysteries of the unexplained.
Yeah, you can find out a little bit more about us and what we do in our spare time.
Oh God, imagine if it was just like, sometimes I like to read book in evenings.
Well, we all know that that's not what you're doing in the evening times now. But find out more, guys, you're going to have to join us on Friday. But I digress, I'm going to have to bait on with this now because I've got a lot of ground to cover. Now, I'm not going to say too much. I'm just going to have to tell you that you're going to have to hold your concentration here for a little bit because this story is in kind of like two parts. And for the first part, I know it's a surprise to you, William, as well, because I just sent you your lines there and you were never one to prepare anyway. But I'm going to start the listeners off here by having Will read out a beautiful poem that I found on Tinternet. William, do you think you could read us a poem?
I can, of course. I'll just clear my throat for this poem.
Oh, my, come on.
On the ocean that hollows the rocks where ye dwell, a shadowy land has appeared, as they tell. Men taught it a region of sunshine and rest. They call it High Brazil, the Isle of the Blessed. From year unto the ocean's blue rim, the beautiful spectre showed lovely and dim. The golden clouds curtained the deep where it lay, and it looked like an Eden away, far away.
Oh my God, channeling Oscar Wilde vibes there. That was flamboyantly lovely.
Can you insert a round of applause after that for me, if you wouldn't mind, just for effect?
Absolutely will.
Thanks,
I don't know if we've ever used that effect before, but I will find it somewhere. This is indeed the famed and mysterious Isle of High Brazil. It's not Brazil, you old bitch, by the way.
Oh, so it's Brazil. Okay, yeah.
And Will, do you know, as a little Irish man, do you know anything about the land of High Brazil? What is it? Where is it? What's going on here?
No, you're going to tell us today. I don't want to ruin the story. Tick, bitch. You don't offer up all your cards at the start of the story, you stupid bitch. You stupid bitch.
Fucking clue. Have you ever heard history class?
Have you ever heard of the art of the reveal, stupid bitch? Telling the end of a movie the start.
I didn't go to drag school. I know nothing about a reveal.
Oh, bitch, bitch! Oh, man!
Oh, boo, 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 boo. High Brazil is a mysterious island appearing on maps from 1325 up to the 1800s, and even beyond. In Irish myth, it was said to be clouded in mist except for one day every 7 years when it became visible but still could not be reached. Stories about the island have circulated throughout Europe for centuries, with tales that it was the promised land of saints or a paradise where an advanced civilization lived. On most maps, the island was located roughly 200 miles off the west coast of Ireland in the North Atlantic Ocean. One of the most distinctive geographical features of High Brazil on those maps is that it often appears as a circle with a channel or a river running east to west across it. High Brazil is derived from the name Brazil, B-R-E-A-S-A-L, meaning the High King of the World in Celtic history. It was noted on maps as early as 1325 by the Genoese cartographer Angelino Dulcet. In 1480, John Jay Jr. departed from Bristol, England, on a journey to find the Fable Island, only to come back empty-handed after spending 2 months at sea. In 1481, again, two ships from the Trinity and the George departed from Bristol on an expedition to find High Brazil, with no success either. Jesus, the Bristol lads were mad to find it. They must have thought there was treasure or something. Interesting. Interestingly, in 1497, Spanish diplomat Pedro de Ayala reported to the Catholic monarchs of Spain that John Cabot, the first European to visit North America since the Vikings, had discovered in the past what the men from Bristol were looking for, implying that someone from Bristol had actually managed to find it. What is the connection with Bristol? Perhaps the most well-known, though, of these accounts took place in 1674. Captain John Nisbet of Donegal, Ireland, and his crew were all familiar with the Atlantic coast of Ireland. Sailing in the area one day, they were surprised by a sudden bank of fog that rolled over them. When the fog cleared, they saw that they were close to the rocky coast of an island. They went ashore, hoping to get their bearings so they could sail home. They soon learned that they were on the legendary island of High Brazil. Nisbet and his men told stories about large black rabbits that roamed the island and about an old magician who lived in a castle on the island. This old man gave the sailors gold and silver. Another voyage, headed by Alexander Johnson, also claimed to set foot on the island. The description by Johnson and his men was nearly identical to that of Nisbet. In 1872, author T.J. Westropp and several members of his party stated that they saw the island appear before them from the shore and then vanish. Will, I was reading about this and I was kind of like, these are all kind of old accounts and we've all kind of heard of High Brazil because, you know, it's a very Irish thing. It's kind of the Atlantis of the West kind of a thing. But I didn't realise that in February of 2012, pilot said that he saw it. Pilot Nigel Gosser filed a report that there was a huge blanket of fog over the ocean off the western side of Ireland. Ireland? Can I say Ireland?
The country that you actually live in?
That's the one, yeah. But when I'm saying island in Ireland a lot, I end up saying
Ireland. Yeah, but you don't pronounce it like that at all. You have to pronounce it like this. Ireland.
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 Ireland, I'm Enya's sister. Ireland.
Enya's sister is Moya Brennan. Anyway, As he flew over the area, his flight instruments became erratic for a period of 3 minutes. When he looked below, he observed a green landmass where there should not be a landmass, and he believes that he saw the island of High Brazel.
Oh.
Now, Will, what are you thinking about this now? Do you thinking? Are you thinking it's like... what do you think?
I love stories like this because it's just like kind of, you know, bring your childhood into adulthood, really, when somebody in 2012 seen it. Is it a possibility that the island is actually from another dimension? Mm-hmm. And then it crosses over every 7 years and then it's visible and then disappears and there's no trace of it. That's why people are like, the island doesn't exist. But then it does exist for a few moments in time and then disappears.
Funny that you should say that, Will, and hold on to that thought, because I am going to knock your knickers off.
I'm not wearing any, so that's going to be tough.
Commando.
So I'm going to have you hold the thought of High Brazel in your mind for a minute, and we're going to skip back to a little story that I told 2 weeks ago about the Rendlesham Code. Do you remember this, Will? I know you find it hard to remember things from...
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
And to all you listeners out there who didn't listen to the episode, you fuckers, why didn't you?
Oh my gosh.
No. A few weeks ago, I told you a little story about a major UFO incident that happened in Rendlesham in England back in the early 80s. So just a little synopsis of it. What happened is there's a US Army base there. They saw strange lights in the woods. Two men called Peniston and Burroughs go out.
Mm-hmm.
And Peniston basically says an unidentified ship, like a extraterrestrial ship,
mm-hmm.
came down in front of them. His partner got so blinded by the light that he kind of fell over, but Jim Peniston walked towards the lights and had some type of interaction with the ship.
Mm.
The ship then kind of disappears. There were other witnesses to it that weren't as close, but it happened again 2 weeks later and more people saw these unexplained craft. So that's kind of where we left it. Some people thought that Peniston was a bit of a nutcase. Some people thought that the two of them made it up. But a lot of people kind of saw the lights over the woods that night and said that there was something in it.
Mm.
What was in it? We are not really sure. The Ministry of Defence of England said that they looked into the case and there was nothing to be found there. But of course they would say that. But
yes,
the plot thickens, my William, and it doesn't end there. So I'm going to read on thus. Over the years, as bits and pieces of the Rendlesham story came to light, Jim Peniston kept one staggering aspect of his encounter secret. We heard how, out of all of the witnesses who saw the UFO over 3 nights, he came the closest. Indeed, he touched it. The secret he kept to himself for over 30 years is that when he touched it, something extraordinary happened. Essentially, Peniston claims that when he touched a particular symbol, he received a sort of telepathic download of ones and zeros, which he now believes was a binary code message. Here, in Peniston's own words, is what happened when he approached the craft. As I walked down to the right side of the craft, I realised that I was still intact and not harmed. I was making small moves of assessment, noting that no sign of threat or aggression was apparent at this point. I figured if I was to die, it would have happened by this point, so a small feeling of relief enveloped me. So I decided to take a step further. I decided to touch the outer skin of the craft, or maybe I was compelled to do that. It was never clear to me. As I walked ever so slowly or shuffled, I took my hand and touched the craft momentarily. Then I started to shuffle along while taking my hands and running them along the side of the craft, one hand over the other as I moved around it. After almost a complete circle, I came back to the start where the symbols, or the glyphs, if you will, stood. Running my left hand from the smooth fabric to a coarse sandpaper feel of the glyphs, slowly feeling and tracing with my hand these pictorials, I run the bottom glyphs, which measured about 3 feet long and a handprint high in height. I left the largest one to last. It looked something like a large triangle. I hesitated for some moments. Then I opened my hand and pressed it to the triangle. What was to happen next defies reality. What I was seeing I will recall with my mind's eye. There was a bright and steady, brilliant light. Was I squinting? Then a stream of ones and zeros ran relentlessly before me and I was unable to see my surroundings. I was scared, though I seemed to understand it was not harmful, but required. I am not sure how long this took place, this bright light with flashing of these ones and zeros. Seconds or minutes, it seemed like only a brief moment. Unable to pull my hand back, I finally had it release my hand. As quickly as release of my hand from the triangle happened, the ones and zeros stopped. Thank God, I thought. I quickly started looking at my hand. I was examining it for damage. Seeing none, I knew I was not going to do that again. No need to have physical contact again with the craft. Scary and unreal it all was. I started to see the craft generating colour through the fabric of the craft again. It started to become bright and it began moving through the trees and then hovered at the top of the trees with a flash and a blink of an eye. It was gone. I hear movement to my right. It's John. I am wondering where he had come from and where he was during this encounter. My thoughts are broken with John quickly pointing to a direction out in the farmer's field. There it is, Jim. Let's go. As quickly as he said that, he was off and I was right behind him. Bam bam! So, Jimmy boy said it'd be a great idea to go up and take a notebook with him and start feeling around the edges of the craft and all these pictures, he said, that were looked like Egyptian hieroglyphics all over the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And what is not said in that little bit of text there, but is said in the book, is that he had a notebook with him and he wrote down pictures of them and he took down little sketches of what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that when he put his hand to this certain triangle on the ship, that something like a code was like kind of telepathically delivered to him.
Okay, yeah.
Directly after this, he didn't really make much of it, or he was kind of trying to forget about it.
Mm.
So what happens then is that they all have their investigations and he goes through like countless investigations by the US Army and by the English Ministry of Defence and the English Army and all the rest of it, right? But he doesn't tell anyone about touching the craft and he doesn't tell anyone about the code, doesn't tell anyone that he took notes of it. So his story is that this code stayed with him for years and years and really, really like nearly like broke his psyche apart. He became really, really unwell. He couldn't sleep. He had really bad insomnia. He was like, I'm losing my mind. Like, I'm losing my fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that this series of ones and zeros was just in his head the whole time. Like, he just couldn't stop thinking about it. It was like taking over his life. So even though he had made sketches of the hieroglyphics, he hadn't written down the code. It was just because he didn't see it. It was just something that was in his head. So one day he writes it down. And 30 years later, you guys, he's doing an investigation with the History Channel and he gives them this set of codes. He says that after he wrote it down, right, that it just completely left his head. He just felt like a weight had been lifted when he just wrote it in a notebook in his house. A weight had been lifted and he got it out of him and he started to feel better. So he didn't really question it anymore and it didn't mean anything to him. Now, this is back in the early 80s and he wouldn't have really had a clue what binary code really was. It wasn't like, you know, like internet isn't what it is now and all of us kind of have an idea of what binary is. So 30 years later, he gives this code to this mathematician that's working with the History Channel. And guess what the code says?
It says, go fuck yourself.
No? I wasn't following the story. What, was that not it? What does it say?
It says that at the end, but before that it says, exploration of humanity. Then it gives a series of coordinates north and west. Then it gives a series of coordinates for these locations. A location in South America, a location in China, a location in Greece, an ancient city in Central America, Giza in Egypt, and Sedona in Arizona. And you know what those places all have in common?
Really good McDonald's. Not just shitty ones, the ones that you're like, this is a good McDonald's, I'm going to get a nice McDonald's here. Am I right? Have I been following it correctly?
You've absolutely been following it. They have the best McFillet burgers in the world. No, not, what was that? Fillet of fish. Fillet of fish. I used to be like, what? No, these are all places. these are all places that have had extraterrestrial stories attached to them for years and are believed to be energy vortexes.
Okay.
And then he gives those six coordinates, and the last coordinate he gives is the exact coordinate of the island of High Brazel. Yes, on ancient maps where High Brazel was continuously said to be located, he gives the exact coordinates of this island. And it is apparently, according to this binary code, meant to be a very, very important place for the future of humanity. And it gives a date of 8100 for some reason. Nobody really knows what that means, as an origin date.
It's kind of annoying that it's a mystery island, though, that we can't just go and investigate it. Like, if I was to bring you out on a boat, we'd probably die.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
In like the choppy waters. It'd be all over RT News. And it'd be like, two idiots spent in search of a mysterious island, banished to local legend. Annie Gann and William O'Hanlon went on a boat trip with no experience in waters, with no food and water, in search for a mysterious island with giant black rabbits and a wizard that lives in the castle that gives you gold and silver. Annie Gann said, once been rescued by the Coast Guard... Oh, Jesus, I've made a terrible mistake. Billy Mohanan, who suffers from anxiety and panic attacks, was visibly shaken and had vomited down his top multiple times. The boat also smelled of feces. And now it's Karina with the weather. It looks like it's going to be sunny this weekend, Karina.
I'd be like, I'm going to get that gold and silver, bitch. Oh, but like, we'd only do it on the one day in the 7 years that it appears. Like, we're not total fucking idiots, are we?
That's the other thing as well. It's like, say if you were like going to go and try to do this, you'd have to invest 7 years of your life. And also, yeah, you might hit the jackpot. You might find it within the first year because you don't know what the cycle is, to be honest with you. 7 years from what? Or you could be literally starting your investigation the day after it had appeared. Do you know? Oh, so you could be like, I have to wait for 7 fucking years. So it's kind of Russian roulette.
7 years, me and you floating around in our canoe out there going, Asher, we might as well wait for it to come back.
Yeah, we'll like, just hang on.
I'd be like braiding your hair in 6 months. 6 months later, we'd be looking like Tom Hanks of Castaway. No, I'd be looking like Tom Hanks of Castaway. I'd be at my perfect weight. You'd be dead. I'd be after throwing you overboard.
Oh my God, probably. And you totally know that the day it appeared was like the day of Hurricane Ophelia here in Ireland as well. So, you know, it doesn't arrive on a quiet, calm, sunny day. That's very rare in Ireland anyway. It wouldn't appear then. It'd appear in the height of winter, stormy seas, you know, keep people away, you know.
Yeah. I kind of really like, it's really my next holiday destination, I think. I really want to go there.
Yeah, come on, it would be roaring trade there. You'd be able to open up a coffee shop, have a market.
We'd have to get one of those horse box coffee things that everybody's doing at the moment. Totally.
I've never heard.
High Brazel.
What are them? What are they? Never heard. It's a cool concept. Never heard of them. Very interesting. Now, something that I would have to say now with this guy is that if the History Channel rang you up and said that they were going to do a show and they, you know, they were looking for maybe some information that you hadn't shared in the past, maybe James or Jim or whatever his name is, you would be scrambling to write down maybe ancient
absolutely
stuff just to kind of do it, and then you know maybe a little Google search might have come up with High Brazel that maybe isn't known across the waters, so it's kind of like, oh, I never heard of this place, but wait a second, this is new information, and then it is a big reveal after
That's
the
it.
break.
I mean, it's kind of like it's kind of like taking off your third wig in the middle of a lip sync for your life.
It is.
Like it's taking it off is. It because one and two, we've seen it done before. But when you take off that third wig and your third outfit reveal, like, bitch, you have won the fucking Super Bowl. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Is it a case that he just kind of was scrambling, put down these codes just to give it a bit more, spin the fucking wheel again? Jim wants to make another book, or is That's he telling maybe. The truth?
Maybe. There's been obviously lots of critics and lots of critics saying, oh yeah, like years later, like what, like, you know, you're coming out with this stuff. Now I have to say that like his original story about the craft itself seemed quite like plausible in a way, as in like there were other witnesses there was another witness mm-hmm. when he said that they actually saw the thing. A very interesting thing he says is that he went to hypnotherapy a few years after this had happened to him, because he did a regression thing to try find out more about what happened to him, and basically he says that they're not UFOs, this thing, and it's not extraterrestrial, but he believes that it's time traveling humans from the future coming back.
Okay.
Something that happened there and something that happened in his regression really makes him believe that they're government agents. And the hypnotherapist asks him who these people are. And Peniston says, they are asking me if I see binary code. I see the binary code. They are time travelers. They are us. The hypnotherapist says, how far in the future? And he says, a long time, a very long time. What do they need from us? Not sure, but it has something to do with chromosomes or something like that. How do they get these chromosomes? They take it. Where do they take it from? From other people's bodies. They were interrupted in Rendlesham Forest. I wasn't meant to see them. So the hypnotherapist says to him, you touched the symbols on the craft and you set off a program or something like that. And he says, yes, the craft was repairing itself. All they wanted was a place to stay while it repaired itself. By touching the symbols, you disrupted the repair program. I activated a binary code. The two government men want to know why. They ask me if I have ever had any encounters with them, lights and time travelers, before. But I haven't. So that was part of his hypnotherapy. So he's very much saying, and the Burroughs guy that was with him at the time, the Burroughs guy has nothing to do with this binary code or whatever. He didn't touch the craft. He says he seemed to kind of actually pass out while this was happening, which you would with the fright. I would be the one passing out. I would be on the ground, like, just, I'd be like, I'm just going to remove myself from this situation. You'd be
like, wellity, 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 wellity.
You would be the one up dancing around the craft taking fucking pictures and selfies with it. But that guy as well believed that it was a time travel thing, and that the Air Force knew something about it, that they knew more than they were letting on, and they wanted to cover it up because it's actually humans traveling from 50,000 years in the future.
What? That like a mysterious island pops up in the future off the coast of Ireland that has a wizard and black rabbits on it?
Well, we don't know. Like, we don't know what significance High Brazel has with this, what's happened in the future, or any of those places. But you're going to have to do another podcast next week to find out, bitch. And now we all know what time of the week it is. Ask Willy anything. Hi, Will.
Hello. How are you?
You sound very excited to be here with
Nervous about you. It's just, I know you're not taking your medication and I'm just a bit frightened, to be honest with you. The haunting laughs are unsettling.
I am off to meds, but the doctor said because I'm doing it during lockdown that the number of people harmed should be significantly reduced, you say.
Oh, right.
Okay, to stop your nervousness and anxiety, we've been trying that for years, we're just going to dive right in here. I asked some of our favourite fans from our Mysteries of the Angus Bay private group on Facebook for some questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And girl, they never let us down. Mirandia Catherine Berthold, thank you. What a beautiful, fancy name you have. Nothing super personal here, but I'd like you both, thank you, to recommend a good book and maybe a drink to sip while reading it. Oh, bitch! Ah, William doesn't read books, bitch! No, Ronnie Madison.
A really good book that you could all read is Leave Some Sea for Me. It's by a lady called Annie Gann, and it is a children's picture book, but it's also just very heartwarming as well. So if you wanted to get that book, you could go to landofnotlearning.com with promo code WILL, and you will get a no discount off, but it will just be logs.
I'll give you a discount. Well,
oh, she is going.
I want to do two things.
5%?
I want to do 10%. 10%. I want to do
10%.
I actually want to thank you for promoting me, and I also want to cry because your last and only read was a kid's picture book.
Listen, I presume cry tears of joy. But that's right, you get 10% off landoflawlearning.com. Type in the promo code WILL. Annie, you better set up that promo code now. And you will get a book from Annie, and she posts all over the world, everybody. And it's only, what is it, Annie? It's $10.99. Would you ever fucking put your hand in your pocket for starters?
Okay, stop. Now,
we're posting packaging.
Mirandia can attest to this. I didn't set this up, bitch. This guy is going rogue on me. But come here, what do you...
Annie, will you lower the gun from my face? It's frightening me.
What do you recommend that the children drink while they're reading the book, Will?
Oh, like a diluted vodka, because the book is a bit trippy. So a diluted vodka with some orange juice will probably like settle them. Plus they'll get a fantastic night's sleep and you guys can get some rumpy pumpy.
Miranda, thank you so much. You actually asked us both. Drink wise, I have been absolutely craving a fucking margarita like for months. It's just too much work and expense to buy all the ingredients into my house and have two and then like blackout, which is what I will do because I haven't had strong liquor in quite a while. So
go away, Annie. You're drinking fucking Bulmers from a can, cider from a can. Margarita, my hole. I've never seen her drink a margarita in my life. This is all airs and graces and fucking, I'm an author. This is carrying on now. Trust me. Believe me. Go on, Annie. Go on.
The book I'm currently reading is a beautiful book called Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. If you like kind of periodical kind of history kind of thing. Oh, okay. And We're just going to go on to the next question here because
It is Ask Will, and you're going on your little, oh, I'm Annie and I like cashmere scarves and walking on the beach and a little light poetry as well, with margarita sometimes, and sometimes I like going to an art class in the evening just to kind of brush up, you know yourself.
I'm Will. I like TikTok. Misty Miller. Has this been asked? When you have to channel someone from the stories, who has been your favourite and why? Oh, has this been asked? I think it has been when you had to channel somebody. When you had to stop making noise down there, Will. I'll come down there and I'll kick your fucking arse.
Oh my God. What a bitch. My favourite person to channel when I channel somebody from the stories. Oh God, I'm trying to think, like, I forget their names because they are passing spirits and I don't hang on to them, just their residual energies could fuck me up and cause schizophrenia. So what I would, I did like, do you remember, if you guys cast your mind back to the lady in the car who had an out-of-body experience and she, like, described like her experience of basically a car crash but claimed it was claimed it was an out-of-body experience but her body just went in slow-mo for a second. I did quite enjoy her character. She'd be my favorite. Misty Miller,
thank you so much for your question. Philip asks, hi Philip Norris, thanks so much for your question. Can Will do any other accent apart from Northumberland? Great pod. Thank you. You know, he's absolutely a one trick pony.
I can. I know I can. I've been broadening my accents. I feel like I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I can do it. But then when I actually do it, it's just Northumberland. So we'll give it a go. I can do like a Scottish accent.
Okay. What I will do then is I will have you answer the next and final question. You got a lot this week in your finest Scottish brogue. It's from Nikki Woodward. Oh, thanks so much, Nikki. You're always supporting us. She's a very simple question. Shakira or Beyonce?
Oh, thanks, Nikki, for your question. Well, my favourite... I know, Annie. Give me a minute, Annie. Just a minute. Even 45 seconds, I take off you. Okay, hen. I really like Beyonce. Hecky, henny. Although I have to say, now that we're on the Scottish accent, Annie did live in Edinburgh for a bit and she took on a bit of a Scottish accent, which is extremely bet down.
I don't know what you're talking about, pal.
It's like, you're Irish, bitch. You're speaking Scottish.
You try living in Edinburgh.
There's plenty of people that live across the world and don't embody the accent. Chameleon is what I'd call you now. A chameleon. Trying to slither in. Actually, are you a reptilian?
No.
Are you a fucking reptilian?
No,
oh, yeah, you are. I forgot about this. You were. We discovered that in another episode. Sorry, it makes sense now. Turn off that news, Jim. I hate it. Turn off that news, Jim. I hate it.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a breaking news story. Woman faces felony charges for forgetting to turn. Ah, fuck it.
Absolutely fired.
Woman faces felony charges for forgetting to return Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS tape 20 years ago.
Oh, God. That could easily have been me.
The first thing she told me was felony embezzlement, so I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Yes, a woman in Texas received a nasty shock while trying to update her married name. She was a criminal for a crime she didn't even remember committing. In fact, she was guilty of a crime most people of a certain age have probably committed. 20 years ago, she forgot to return a VHS tape. Sarah McBride, 52, made the discovery during a trip to the DMV. The former Oklahoma resident had moved to Texas and gotten married and needed to update her information. I went to change my driver's license. During this COVID thing, you had to make an appointment, McBride said. They told me that I had an issue in Oklahoma. McBride was mystified. She called the number that the DMV had provided and was connected to the Cleveland, blah, 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 blah. She was a wanted felon. The first thing she told me was felony embezzlement, so I thought I was going to have a heart attack, McBride said. Then she learned what crime she'd committed. She told me it was over the VHS tape of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I had to make her repeat it because I thought, right, this is insane. This girl is kidding me, right? She wasn't kidding. That ends this. That ends this broadcast from Billy's Bizarre News. I am your reporter, Annie G. Please come back. Oh, that sounded really stupid.
Please? Sorry, is this news station actually begging viewers to come back? Like, please come back and hear more from our network of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Our top story and everything that's going on in the world is about Sabrina the Teenage Witch. VHS.
Stop, I have to finish this up. That's all for me. Please tune in next week for more Billy's Bizarre News.
I thought there was going to be more to the story. I have to finish it up. That's all from me. Just a professional sign off is what you wanted. I get it. I get it.
What do you want? She got charged $58.59. $58.59. What do you want from me? She said she doesn't even like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Do you remember like the way Sabrina the Teenage Witch was literally the height, like the height of it, when we were teenagers? Yeah. And it was just like, it was, it's all the family secret. And it was just like, I wonder what the family secret was. And then it was ended up being something totally anticlimactic at the end. But remember there was like rumours that like Melissa Joan Hart was like,
she's actually 55 and she plays a teenager.
Do you remember, did that happen in your school?
What? No. That, well, like, we're not absolute morons.
Oh, bitch. Judge Judy can be the judge of that, bitch.
What? Like, were people in your school were like, is that actually true? Oh, but you went to like a particular type of school for particular people.
Annie, you were raised in a barn, Annie. They found you when you were 21 in a field alone. Get down off your high horse, Annie. You're literally just after integrating into society in the last few years. Do not start preaching to me because you just learned your fucking 8x tables. Okay. Don't, Annie. Get a bit of confidence now because you can fill out a bank form. And now you're kind of like, oh, you. Annie, things can very easily slip back into, like, cave world again. You understand me? Good. As I was saying, no, but there was, like, she's actually, it wasn't 55, but it was like, she's actually 30.
Oh, my maybe God, she was 30. But she probably might have been around 30. Oh my God. Have you seen like that show that she tried to do in later years? Like it's some comedy where like she's living with a guy and she has one kid and he has the other. Oh my God, it's so bad. And your man has spray on hair. Oh my God. It's so bad.
Yeah. Oh, he has spray on hair. Now, I will say though, that I do love her. Like, I do love her.
Why?
Because she's part of my... She's part of my childhood. But yeah, your man's hair... I remember I seen that a few times. It'd be on the telly and it'd just be, you know, it'd be one of those shows that'd come on. And then you'd just be like... I could never tell you the storyline because all I'd be watching is his hair and just be like, what's going on with the hair?
He's trying to pretend that he just had his head shaved, but it's sprayed on. Like, it's totally sprayed on.
Oh, there's a little, it's stenciled on.
Washy's just after coming in here and he's tippy-tapping around being like, bring me somewhere.
Put him to the microphone because he'd be better than you.
It's time to fucking go, bitch. Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in for my fantastic story about the VHS tape.
Everybody's gone home. No, Annie, I have to say thank you for putting some light on the story of... Oh, Annie, sorry, I dropped my phone there. One second, Annie. Are you there?
What a fucking idiot. It's like doing a show with a monkey.
Oh my God. Wait now, Annie, would you shut up?
Things to do would be...
I know, we just literally got a new Patreon came in, so maybe we could put him on. Put him in the episode at the start. Yeah. Live. This is actually the breaking news story.
Change the timeline. This is boop, 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 boop. We have another Billy's Bizarre News. We actually got another Patreon, which is very, very bizarre indeed. My co-anchor will now read you out the details.
This is a Motu broadcast. Please remain seated. A new Patreon subscriber has signed up to Mysteries of the Unexplained Patreon. As we speak live on air, we are getting reports of a Mirandia Berthold who has just signed up to us. Thank you very much, Mirandia. You are now officially a mysterious patron. That's what you get called.
Oh, Mirandia, I think that you sent in one of our questions today as well, because I remembered your elegant and glamorous name. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, she did actually. And you're very observant. She asked the first question.
Yeah, that's why you went to a school where you believed that Melissa Joan Hart was 55 when she was fucking 20. Look, I have to go.
It was a rumour. No, you don't have to go. You don't have to do a thing, Annie. You're going to get off now, do a poo and sit on the couch drinking a coffee looking at Watty. That's what you're going to do. Let the truth be known. Truth. That's what's going to happen there now. No, but thanks very much, Miranda. Yeah, and don't forget, guys, we'll have the live stream on Friday. So if you want to avail of that, just sign up to our Patreon and you will see us on Friday. And also, there's a new episode going up today on Patreon. More of the Irish stories that we read out on last week's episode. So
if you want to give us a little dig out for free, you can give us a review. All reviews help to get the ratings up a little bit and helps us continue to make the show. You're getting on my nerves now. I can hear you breathing down the fucking microphone. Listen, I'm gone.
My fucking God. This is absolutely somebody. Like, I know sometimes, listeners, you might think that I'm harsh to Annie, but it's actually the other way around. And it's just whenever I got an ear, I can actually stand up for myself. And to be honest with you, it's just too much now and I have to go.
Cry your tears, bitch. Cry me a river.
Reptilian witch. Okay, right. Love yous all. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Join us next week when we delve into more
Mysteries of the Unexplained.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
And it's just whenever I got an ear, I can actually stand up for myself. And to be honest with you, it's just too much now and I have to go.
Cry your tears, bitch. Cry me a river.
Reptilian witch. Okay, right. Love yous all. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Join us next week when we delve into more
Mysteries of the Unexplained.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.